Good morning. A reading from the book of Ecclesiastes. The case of solitary individuals without sons or brothers, yet there is no end to all their toil, and their eyes are never satisfied with riches. For whom am I toiling, they ask, and depriving myself of pleasure? This also is vanity and an unhappy business. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up the other. But woe to one who is alone and falls and does not have another to help. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though one might prevail against another, two will withstand one. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. The word of God for the people of God. A reading from the book of Colossians. Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The word of God for the people of God.
When Dennis Esteman started first grade, he said lunch was the worst time of day. As a new Haitian immigrant just learning English, he remembered feeling the weight of the lunchroom, that time when you can really miss having just a friend to talk to. For all of his elementary years, he struggled to connect with other students, and so when he got to high school, he was determined to make sure that nobody ever felt that way again. He and a couple friends got together with an English teacher, and they started something called We Dine Together. It's a grassroots club that can be started in any high school or community school, and it started in Deerfield Beach in Florida, which is pretty cool. Their message and their tactic was simple. They were dispatched at lunchtime, sent out to find anyone sitting alone or anybody who seemed like they needed an extra friend today. Sometimes they hosted a pizza gathering in their teacher's classroom with an open invitation for anyone who wanted to come. And anybody could be part of the club because the premise was, we dine together. Today, we are finishing our series on resilience. What does it mean to be resilient people in a time of unsteadiness? And what does it mean for our faith to be a pillar of resilience in a life that can feel so uncertain? Today, friends, we're talking about community. Let's pray. Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we started this series a few weeks ago, exploring what it means to try and have a firm foundation, to be a firm foundation when it feels like everything else is shifting sand underneath your feet. We were asking ourselves, how is it that our faith could be a tool for resilience, not only in times of great gratitude and celebration, but how can especially our faith be a tool for resilience, staying power, fortification in times that get really tough? Now, we started this knowing that we need to build resilience. I do not believe this world is going to get easier. I would love for it to get easier. If anyone has a clue for that, please let me know. But in the meantime, it doesn't look like things are going to get easier. And so for us, what does it mean for us to be people who build a sense of strength, toughness, resilience together? How do we get stronger around the bumps and the bruises that we find in our stories and also in our lives? And that's awesome. Growing into all the potential that God has given you and pushing yourself to live fully into who you can be, there's nothing like looking at a weighted bar and remembering a time when you couldn't lift it. But if that's all that we talk about in resilience, we begin to get the impression that with enough work, we can be everything. We can overcome anything. With enough practice and new skill, we could maybe get so good at all that needs doing that we could become all that we need. Isn't that alluring? The idea that maybe I don't need anybody else, it's just me, I figured it all out. Kate Bowler, a professor of mine from seminary and an incredible New York Times author who was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer at 32, has now reflected on what it means to be a real human in a world where things don't always go the way you want them to. She reflects on something she calls the myth of invincibility. She says, despite how absolutely lovely you are not invincible. You're just human again today, and we still need each other. Fortunately and unfortunately, the reality is that all of us, and I mean all of us, young and old, tough and tired, determined and achy, we will find ourselves at some point needing other people if we think we already haven't. We heard that passage that Heather read for us from Ecclesiastes, a meaningless refrain filled with meaning. That's the refrain of the book. Oh, this is meaningless, this is meaningless. And yet this book of meaning tells us around some corner we may find ourselves in a ditch and we're going to need somebody else to pull us out. We will find ourselves at some point unable to do it all on our own and we will have to depend on others. Maybe you showed up today because the weight that you're carrying is too much. Maybe you showed up hoping that God might strengthen you enough that you can fix it or you can carry it a little better on your own, maybe tougher shoulders, broader strength. But I have to tell you, one of the hardest lessons our early Christian brothers and sisters learned was that sometimes it's just a two-man job. Sometimes it requires a 10-gal team with snacks and shared tears and somebody to call when things aren't going right. Sometimes you're just not enough on your own, and that's okay. The story of humanity is a story of needing more than one cord to make the rope strong enough. But I don't think the only reason for community is because we don't have 10 arms and unlimited back strength, right? That would be nice. I feel like with every child or additional person you have to care for, you should be given an extra arm, right? But we don't just need each other because we're, you know, missing that kind of extra little oomph on our own. And the Bible is really clear that we don't just need community because things get done a little more efficiently. I have a friend who tells the story of going away to his first year of Bible school. Now, he moved from the South to a university, so there was a little bit of culture shock, but he was excited to follow God's call in his life. He grew up memorizing scripture, and not just scripture, scripture in the King James Version, the these, the thous, the yees, the y'alls. And one of the gifts for him was that he could quote it off the top of his head. Be ye fruitful and multiply from Genesis. Ye are the light of the world from Matthew's gospel. And like most of us, he tells this story of remembering that he would read the Bible mostly convinced that the point was how God was going to use him and call him and strengthen him and make him courageous. You know all those verses about what God wants to do and is doing. And then in one of his first lessons with his Greek professor, he said he was really grateful he was from Oklahoma. Because the man said it like this. Almost all of the second person pronouns in the New Testament are plural. Most of the yous in the Bible are y'alls. It hit my friend like a ton of bricks. The Bible is not addressed to a person. It is addressed to a people. What my friend discovered is what our Colossians passage is trying to show us this morning. Now, I want to ask you, based on the passage that we heard, how many of you heard the Colossians passage this way? Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but I want you to know I'm with you on this. Therefore, as God's chosen one, holy and beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Oh, Lord, all that? I barely had time to clothe myself with clothes, okay? Bear with one and with other people, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive them. God, are you kidding me? I just throw in the towel that easily. I just have to forgive them. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. More clothing myself, God, I am fully dressed. How can I do all of this? And let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Not only do I have to be peaceful, I have to be thankful after forgiving people, and I have to like it. I am not sure who you think I am, but this is too many layers. It is hot in Florida. It is easy, it is so easy for us to hear passages like this and think that this was a letter written to an individual, a relationship between God and a person. Now, certainly the God of the universe knit you together in your mother's womb and calls you very good. That God knows you by name and knows every hair on your head, but God also loves you enough to know that we need each other. We were not created to be a person for God. We were created to be the people of God. In fact, this passage has only plural yous. If you go through and do all the grammar, if you love grammar, every single you, including some of the implied persons, all you plural, it's all y'alls. This is not a task list from God meant to instill guilt and fear in individuals hiding in their shame. Sometimes we hear this and we think, I can't do it. This is a picture of community. We don't just need community to be helped. We need community to be holy. This Colossians passage isn't a picture of your own holiness bootstraps. Just make them a little tighter. This is an invitation to our growing in Christ's likeness together. It sounds a little bit more like this. Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, y'all clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, meaning they're going to bear with you too. And if anyone has a complaint against each other, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven y'all, so y'all must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in y'all's hearts, to which indeed y'all were called in one body. That one body is not yours alone, it is ours together, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in y'all richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, all y'all do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the ultimate tool for resilience. You don't have to be strong enough on your own, and in fact, even if you try, you can't. You don't have to carry it alone. You don't have to plan the party and bake the pie and clean the house and send the invitations. It was God's party already, and everybody came together with food and mess and joy and straggler friends you did not expect, and together we will find a way at this table. You don't have to make yourself holy. That's what God does, and it's what we help each other to do with patience and commitment, receiving and giving grace together. Like praying for patience occasionally creates an occasion for it, praying for holiness means finding a way together even when it's rough. I had the privilege this week of being with two different groups of clergy colleagues for continuing education. I promise I really was working. We had this opportunity to talk about preaching, and also an opportunity to hear from a clergy colleague in the conference who's written some books and just been really, really incredible, and he poured into our lives. And I realized I don't spend a lot of time telling y'all what amazes me, but I do spend a lot of time telling other people what I love about this congregation. I found myself unable to wait to share that y'all, this congregation, has somehow figured out how to belong to one another in a world obsessed with deciding who is out. It's strange and it's rare, and frankly, it's sort of confounding, not only to me, but to other pastors. In our present world, sometimes it can feel like you get to belong if you paid the entrance fee. Or you get to belong if you can add value to what's already happening here. Or you get to be us if you agree, sign this statement. Don't cause any problems. But y'all, I already know we don't agree on everything, and if you know another person in this room, you know that too. Sometimes we don't agree on much. The breadth of stories and lives represented in this room would absolutely baffle you. I have the privilege of hearing these stories, and I am amazed. We don't have lots of money around here, and when it rains, the ceiling still leaks in the office during staff meetings. Some of you have been here since before televisions had color, and others just came and jumped into the mess. All y'all packing food and sending cards and celebrating good things and sharing your life, even when it's scary to be vulnerable together. Y'all have been honest about not being perfect yet, and hopeful that with enough love and enough time, God might make us closer to holy tomorrow than we are today. It is absolutely astounding. Because here, you get to belong, not because you're finished, but because we are on this journey together. Here, you get to put your burdens down because other people will take a turn carrying them through life's deserts. And so, as we close this series on resilience, I want us to hear the resounding y'alls of Scripture. Let us hear that we weren't created to be enough on our own. We weren't created to be able to do it all. Let us hear that the journey toward holiness of heart and life is filled with not getting it all right yet, but sticking it out together for another try. Here, we dine together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.